那光州的那些，那那个人找我南京的时候，是得需要啥了吧？你看的，哎，当然对于在本身上班南京，你找我几个肯定是做业绩为内跑的呀，那，哎，讲白了，在我工作，俺都是，下来能够认识。嗯。就像第二天，当然对于呢，在那边大街，在那个路边的，俺就连你们几个呀，当然对于，哎，这样子呀。 就是说，现在六百几个没生病，但讲究生病，过年他做我的啊，对不对？我学会把你这几个你们几个做他，学会呢，他学会那样那地方生病，他们就在那三九国话头发基金生病，工作也对呢。那你现在你们工作啊，你这个两个现在分别讲话的，给我什么搞的？给我呢？对了，你那东西什么啥，当然当然，现在六百来，就那对了，你把这个控制嘛，那么这那。
Good evening, everyone. So last time we started to look at the part of the presentation on the 37 practices of the Bodhisattva that covers the transforming problems into the path. So there are 10 verses or 10 different practices that fall within this practice of subsequent attainment of transforming problems on the path. So we started looking at that last time. And basically, for a bodhisattva to transform problems in the past, they do it primarily with the motivation of love and compassion. And we ourselves should try and act in the same way as bodhisattvas. So in the morning when we arise, we should set our motivation for the day. And at the very least, our motivation for the day should be not to harm others. In other words, to set the motivation that whatever we do today, may I not harm others. And moreover, if we can, to generate a motivation based on love and compassion, a motivation that wants to not only refrain from harming others, but that wants to benefit others. And then during the day, whilst we engaging in our various activities, to try and keep an awareness of this motivation that we had set that morning, the motivation to at least not harm others and to try and benefit others. And in conjunction with this, if we can also keep in mind our understanding of emptiness, that everything that we're experiencing lacks true existence, then this too would be very beneficial. And this is how bodhisattvas practice. So therefore, we ourselves should try and we should set a motivation in the morning and try and keep that present during the day, so that whatever we encounter, we will have minds of love and compassion and wisdom understanding emptiness. We will have these present. And this will prevent afflictive minds such as anger or frustration arising in a powerful way.
아니 다디링 가르시아레스 나가서 지미년바 아니 미년바르치 양들레 미션다게 찍찍 맺기시 미년바 야야 쉐베나 안디 데네게 토나네 쉐베나디 간에시 호르 탑람 다 강아디 간에시 호르에세지 미년바 네 람네 쳇수세디 디고시에시
Today we come to the 14th practice. So this is the verse that starts even if someone broadcasts all kinds of unpleasant remarks, so we come here again, hasn't read it yet, but this is where we are. And this is the 14th practice. And this is about transforming unpleasant, or maybe here we can say offensive speech. So we'll talk now about the method or the technique to deal with such when we hear such speech, or when people talk to us in an unpleasant or an offensive way.
Yeah, that's it. ganga
What we're going to talk about tonight is, of course, it's similar to what we looked at last week. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we were speaking about transforming problems onto the path, so the same outline, the same topic as now, but then it was in regard to more physical issues, such as if people beat us or physically harm us or illness and the like. So that's what we looked at last time. Now we come to the part of the section on transforming problems relating to speech. So we'll talk here about how to effectively deal with people, the situation when people speak to us in an abusive manner, or they talk about all our faults and all the things that are wrong with us. Because of course when this happens, we experience mental suffering because we become unhappy. So here we come to the section where we will discuss the technique on how to solve this, how to resolve this mental anguish that we experience when people talk to us in an offensive manner.
这讲究生把的给了，讲究讲呀，这讲究讲些白呢，讲究生把的给什么了，开始当过了，两个人的习惯，一个来接的。那比俺讲究生把的，那的，那的，那的，那个的，这些的话，但是俺当俺老做了，俺老做了的米，现在个卷卷就是白，吃米面巴拉，那俺做了刚刚这个话，那俺做什么了，开始当过了，两个人的习惯了，那我讲的是的，那的，那些活的，什么当他习惯了吧的，这些。
The presentation is again similar to what we've had before. Here we're talking about the practices of a bodhisattva. So the presentation is about how a bodhisattva would respond in such a situation. And as ourselves, we have the aspiration to become bodhisattvas and strive for and attain enlightenment ourselves, then we should act in the same way as those beings that we aspire to emulate. So here we'll hear in the presentation about how they respond in such difficult circumstances, and we should listen to it, not listen to the presentation not in terms of, well, this is how the great and holy beings respond. We should listen to it in the sense of, this is how I too need to respond. So again, I just read the root verse. Even if someone broadcasts all kinds of unpleasant remarks about you throughout the 3,000 worlds, in return with a loving mind, speak of his good qualities. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. So I'm looking at the first two lines, first of all. Even if someone broadcasts all kinds of unpleasant remarks about you throughout the 3,000 worlds. So this, let's try to picture the situation in a context we can relate to. So if people are talking behind our back and talking about the faults that they see in us, and they say, oh, that person is really not trustworthy, they will deceive you if they're given an opportunity, and in fact, moreover, they'll probably steal directly from you if they're given an opportunity, and in fact, their personality is really unpleasant. You watch out, they have these kinds of faults in them. They maybe list all the things that they perceive as wrong with us. So when someone talks behind our back like this, if we become aware of it, of course we experience tremendous mental anguish. And what more if it were done in a very public way, not just a few people speaking, but if, for example, it was broadcast on the news and people were talking about us and how dreadful we were in a whole variety of ways. So if we were to find ourselves in such a situation, of course we'd experience tremendous mental anguish. So in such a situation, how would a bodhisattva respond? First of all, how would we respond? And if we're honest, if we heard someone talking about us like this, we would certainly get angry. And if we were in the person's presence, we'd express our anger to them. Or if we weren't in their presence and we just heard that someone had been talking about us and saying, oh, that we are untrustworthy and people shouldn't rely on us in any way, and that we may be hypocrites and we present ourselves in one way but we really act in another, etc. If we hear about this, we would get angry and we'd want to harm the person, we'd want to stop them physically if we had the chance. So this is unfortunately how we would tend to respond.
Yeah,
So if we find ourselves in such a situation, we'll almost certainly immediately devise a plan that would involve either us responding directly to this person, and under the influence of strong anger, when people do this kind of thing, they may well end up acting illegally and ending up being arrested and imprisoned, or we may hold on to this resentment and then devise a cunning plan to harm them secretly. So this is the kind of way that people do respond when they are being verbally abused in this way. A bodhisattva wouldn't act in this way at all. A bodhisattva wouldn't give rise to anger or any mind within the class of anger, such as frustration or annoyance at the situation. Rather, or in place of anger, their minds of love and compassion would just grow and get stronger. So therefore, we can see a very different mental response from ourselves as opposed to a bodhisattva, because ordinary beings like ourselves, in these difficult situations, we respond with anger, and we give rise to anger and respond due to anger. A bodhisattva, when they're in such a situation, their minds of love and compassion will arise, and not minds of anger. So they, amongst these people who could be talking in an offensive manner, there will be those who understand the situation well and those who do not understand it well. So those who, and both of them will be acting in a similar way, talking about us in an offensive manner, talking behind our back, pointing out faults, etc. And some of them would be know the situation well, and some would not know the situation clearly at all. And then just to say now from my side, exactly what situation he is referring to is not clear to me yet, but maybe it will be in a moment.
Oh. 但你看了真是比给他宁切一些钱把这话钱呢那开始去过了是呢人生把的他这话钱呢你捐谁给工作里啊多少谁给他不能开始过了是呢他长不长下他呢你这些也不清楚啊这些你给你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的你的
So to the person who's criticizing the Bodhisattva, but criticizing the Bodhisattva erroneously, so in other words, he doesn't know the situation correctly, then the Bodhisattva would respond by gently and calmly explaining the correct situation. In other words, the Bodhisattva would explain in a calm and gentle manner, the things that you are accusing me of, the things you are saying that I've done, actually I haven't been involved with that, with these kinds of things, or I haven't done those kinds of things. This is what happened, or maybe this is where the confusion came from. So the Bodhisattva would respond directly to eliminate the doubts or clear up the misunderstandings of the person who's talking badly about them behind their back. And they talk directly to the person, but in a way that's calm and gentle. So in the world, we sometimes see illustrations of this. So for example, a political leader may be accused of corruption. And so the person making this accusation may be doing it without really knowing the full situation. So they may have heard something, or they know a little bit of information and read too much into it. They may not have done a full investigation to come to such a conclusion. And so here they are someone who doesn't know the situation well, and they accuse the politician of being corrupt, of taking bribes and the like. And here in such a case, if this person were a bodhisattva and being accused in this manner, or if they were acting like a bodhisattva, they would respond by talking directly and clearly, explaining the actual situation so as to eliminate the doubts or the misunderstanding in the mind of the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
If we imagine ourselves in such a situation where we're being falsely accused of something and in a way that really can cause us material harm following on from our reputation being destroyed, for sure we will get angry, and whoever's near us, they will hear this anger being expressed. A bodhisattva would not respond in this way. With a bodhisattva, when they're hearing themselves being verbally abused in this way, their minds of love and compassion would automatically or spontaneously arise within them, and they would have the motivation to try and eliminate the doubts or the misunderstanding within this person's mind, and to bring the result that they are experience happiness. So in other words, it's not just about restoring their reputation or correcting a misunderstanding, but it's also to bring the result of happiness arising within the mind of the accuser. So here the key difference is in terms of the motivation or the minds that spontaneously arise due to mental training. For people like us, when we're in this situation, we immediately respond with anger. A bodhisattva, for them spontaneously, minds of love and compassion would arise, and with these as their guide or as their motivation, they would respond. So looking here now at the third and fourth line, in return with a loving mind, speak of his good qualities. So here when the bodhisattva responds, they would be responding with this mind of dominated by love and compassion. And this would indicate that when this mind of love and compassion dominance, the bodhisattva would be aware that the person who's talking badly behind their back, they are not in the same position. They don't have minds of love and compassion dominant. Rather, their minds are afflicted. They've got dominated by discursive thinking and various afflictions. And it's under the control of these minds that this person is now talking offensively, talking unpleasantly about the bodhisattva behind the back. So they would understand the position that that person is in. And that understanding will give rise to this the spontaneous generation of love and compassion. And furthermore, when other people speak to the bodhisattva about the situation, or did you hear that this person has been saying all these things, etc., the way that they would respond is by talking positively about this person and not disparaging them in return, or speaking unpleasantly about them in return. Rather, they would talk about whatever qualities they know this person has. Or if they don't know this person, at the very least they would say, well, what this person said is it may be mistaken, but is their right to say it? And that they said it is all right. I don't have any problem with them talking in this way, even though it's not true. This is their right. So they would completely avoid disparaging or talking offensively in return. So this is the way that bodhisattvas have trained their minds. So they've trained their minds so that this kind of response isn't contrived, it arises naturally within them. And this comes about through their training as bodhisattvas. So this is how a bodhisattva takes a harmful situation and through the generation of minds such as love and compassion transforms this harmful situation into the path. So they take, so bearing in mind path is of course a mental path, so a path here is a mind, so they're transforming a potentially suffering mental situation into a positive situation, a situation that brings about the attainment of their goal, the goal of full enlightenment, that much closer. So in other words, they're using the situation to transform problems into the path and thereby progressing along the path to the goal of enlightenment. So this is the presentation on how a bodhisattva responds. So what about ordinary people such as ourselves? Because we certainly do receive a lot of criticism. People will criticize our personalities. They may say we're honest or we're dishonest, or we're not nice people, we're nasty people, or criticize us physically, saying that we're ugly, we're fat, etc. So this is what happens to us. This happens to us all too much.
And
When we are aware of a situation where someone is talking unpleasantly behind our back or speaking offensively about us, accusing us of a variety of things, then here we should recall that this training of the bodhisattva, this practice of a bodhisattva, and try and emulate the bodhisattva. So first of all, not to respond with the mind of anger, to really block this arisal of anger towards the person, but rather to be aware of the mental situation of that person, and being aware that they are dominated by afflictive minds and therefore they don't have freedom. We should generate minds of love and compassion for the suffering situation, the situation that is a lack of freedom that this other person is experiencing. And if we train ourselves to respond in such a way, then we too, like a bodhisattva, will spiritually progress or mentally progress through utilizing skillfully very difficult situations like this. And we too will progress and improve. So, when we do meet such a person, when we are now face to face with a person who has spoken about us offensively, then the way to deal with them is to have a mind that is moistened by love and compassion, and therefore to talk with them gently and calmly and clear away the misunderstanding, and to do so with a motivation not just to restore our damaged reputation, but to bring happiness into their mind. So therefore, again, with our own mind, mind dominated by love and compassion, we should speak to the person in a calm and gentle manner so as to clear away their doubts. We probably also have experienced that even when we've tried to resolve a situation and we've done it in as skillful way as we can, it doesn't actually have the desired result and resolve the situation. So here, if the person then goes away having heard our explanation, which we try to deliver in a calm and gentle manner, and they go away and continue to talk badly behind our back and speak about us in an offensive way, then in all reality, if we hear about this, well, we'll probably then get really frustrated because, well, I did my best and it didn't work, and what now? So we're probably going to end up getting angry again. But again, the advice is similar. guard our mind against the arousal of anger. And if we see it coming, to apply antidotes. What we should rather do, even if in situations like this, when we've tried to do the right thing, we've tried to resolve the situation, and we've tried to do it in a loving and gentle manner, even if that didn't bring about the results, it would still be inappropriate for us to respond with anger, or for us to allow anger to arise and dominate our mind. Rather, again, we should make a conscious effort to generate minds of love and compassion for this person, being aware that whilst they may just not like me, and there's nothing that I can do about this, then that is just the situation. That is just the situation as it is, and generate compassion for this person, who this other person who is clearly experiencing suffering in their mind. If they have seen you as a person they don't like, as an enemy, then they are suffering. They have an unhappy mind. So we should rather generate minds of love and compassion for them. And if we are successful and we manage to do that, whilst we haven't been able to resolve the situation, this person may well continue to talk badly about us, we ourselves are not mentally unhappy. We ourselves actually have virtuous minds dominant, minds of love and compassion. And these minds are contrary to the mind of anger. We cannot have anger presence and a mind of compassion. It's not possible. So therefore, we ourselves are accumulating virtue. We ourselves are happy. And that maybe at that time is all that we can do. Take care of our response and ensure that virtuous minds dominate our response. And if we train ourselves and we successfully deal with situations like this in such a way that we don't respond with anger, but rather minds of love and compassion arise within us, or regenerates within us, then our mind is going to be peaceful. Our mind is going to be calm and gentle. And we're going to be, through our efforts here, we're going to be strengthening our familiarity with the minds of love and compassion. In other words, these minds are going to become more powerful and more dominant or more prominent within us. So that's how not only will these minds of love and compassion be more dominant within us, but their strength will grow sequentially. So we can see in this way, if we are skillful and we deal with difficult situations in this way, then even something like being spoken about offensively behind our back, something a clearly undesirable situation like that, can actually turn out to be very beneficial, as it leads to our mental development, it leads to the accumulation of virtue, and leads to our progression towards our final goal, the goal of full enlightenment for the benefit of sentient beings. And that is the meaning of taking the situation of offensive speech and transforming it on the path to enlightenment.
What's
being presented here in this verse, we've heard now about how the bodhisattva trains with love and compassion, etc., and that love and compassion protects them from harm. And this, of course, is true. And behind this, though, there's some extra meaning, and that is that this is showing that the power of the practice of patience. Because through training in love and compassion, then our habitual response to difficult situations will be a response dominated by love and compassion. And that is the practice of patience. And it's through being patient in difficult situations that we ourselves are protected from harm. We are not harmed by these difficult situations because we experience no mental anguish. And that is because minds of love and compassion are dominating. And if they are dominating, we are not suffering at all. We are not being harmed. Rather, we are being patient, and our mind is staying gentle and calm despite the difficulties. So when people talk to us either directly or about us, talk indirectly about us in an unpleasant or an offensive manner, we have there are two ways to respond, and these two ways that we respond are dependent on the two ways of thinking, or two different ways of thinking. So the one way to respond is maybe the way we more habituated with, and that's immediately to be offended and to respond with righteous anger at these things that we are that are being said about us, whether they're true or not. We respond with our righteous anger, and the result of having this mind of anger is that we clearly are unhappy. We clearly are suffering in that moment. And not only are we mentally suffering, but we are going to physically suffer. We will, at the very least, lose our appetite or struggle to sleep. It may add as a cause for future illness and the like. And then it can also harm not just ourselves physically and mentally, but can also harm those around us. Because when we're angry, we tend to express that to those around us. We may take our anger out on loved ones verbally or even physically take our anger out on others, even if they've done nothing, but just because we are so angry at the time. And then this, of course, leads to the degeneration of our relationship with other people that we care about. So this is the one way to respond, the way of responding that comes from the mind that responds with righteous anger when someone talks offensively about us. The other way is the way that we've been hearing here in this presentation, about the way that a bodhisattva would respond, and that's a response with love. And they would feel, a person who's trained in love and compassion, they would feel in such a situation, no matter what is said about me, how bad it is or how much is said about me, I can deal with this. This will only make me stronger. It will only make me my mind more gentle, and I can deal with the situation. And such a person will not experience any mental anguish at all about from the situation. They will not lose their appetite. They will have no problem sleeping. They will not create disharmony with their friends and companions. And they may be able to, despite being spoken about badly and having this difficult situation, they may be able to go out with their friends and have a nice relaxed time without this disturbing them in any way. So these are the two ways that one can respond, and it depends on the mental training that one has. So having heard how a bodhisattva responds in such a situation, if we are honest and we look at how we tend to respond in such situations, it tends not to be quite the same as a bodhisattva. So if we recognize this in ourselves, then how do we become, how do we come to responding like a bodhisattva? Here it comes down to when our mind is calm and we're not experiencing these kinds of problems, then we should engage in meditation. So in our meditation practice, we should role play such a situation. So in other words, we're sitting on our own quietly in our room, and we think of such a situation, we imagine such a situation. So maybe take a situation at work where someone is talking badly about you and saying a variety of things and accusing you of things, etc. So you role play a whole situation and look at your response and try and alter your response. And then imagine meeting this person and how think of how you'd normally respond, and then rather role-playing a way that is more skillful. So in other words, you're sitting in meditation, you're imagining a situation where you are being spoken about in an offensive manner, and then you think about what is a skillful way to respond. In other words, you generate love and compassion for that person who's talking about you. And then you imagine meeting the person, and again you generate a mind of love and compassion for them. And this is a meditation if one does not just once but repeatedly, so that one starts to develop this kind of habituation and this way of thinking starts to come about more easily. Then when one is in such a situation, and we will meet these situations, when one is in such a situation, because of the training, because of this preparation we've done, we will instinctively or spontaneously respond in a gentle manner. We'll spontaneously give rise to minds of love and compassion. Anger will not arise, and if it does, love and compassion will arise more strongly and will dominate. So this will only come about if we train, when we in meditation, when the mind is calm and quiet. If we don't do it, and we try, and we have the hope to respond in such a way when we're in such a situation, to be polite will be very difficult. So really, our being able to respond in that way is dependent on us training in meditation.
So
when we engage in meditation and we create a situation or we role play a situation, visualize a situation, we can take, of course, a situation at work, like we've mentioned, or anywhere in society, maybe with your family or in any kind of situation. Another one that's tends to lead to anger arising very easily, and therefore is good to use in our meditation, is when we're engaging in beneficial activities, when we're trying to help someone, we're trying to do some good. And then someone else comes and makes problems for us. They maybe don't give us the permission we need, or they try and discourage us from engaging in this virtuous activity, or discourage us from helping others, etc. So often in such a situation, when we're trying to help others, but another person comes and creates problems and obstacles to our beneficial activities, we can very easily give rise to anger then. So here in our meditation, we should role play such a situation and visualize a more skillful response, and try and imagine such a situation and imagine a more skillful response, a response of loving kindness, a response where we are concerned about this other person and not wanting to harm them, but rather to communicate with them in a way that's skillful, in a way that's gentle. And if we do this, and we do this habitually, and we do this frequently, then when such a situation arises, due to our training, due to our meditation, we will respond in such a manner, and we will respond spontaneously in such a manner. Then at that time, our mind will be calm. We will not experience any anguish or mental suffering at all. We will be accumulating virtue, enabling us to progress on the path to enlightenment. And in fact, this person that we're speaking to, this person who doesn't like us and is talking badly about us, this person will probably be quite surprised at our response. And even if they don't accept what we're saying, they will still be surprised by the way we are relating to them. And quite possibly, just from the way that we relate to them, even if they don't accept our explanation, they may change their attitude to us, or at the very least, stop talking about us in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
Just to really emphasize what we've been saying here on the importance that when you have some quiet time to yourself and the mind is calm and peaceful, that is the time to train in these in this meditation, because it's then that our mind is receptive and can develop. If we are in the heat of the moment, then it's not possible to respond spontaneously in such a way. If we've done some training, we may be able to call this to mind, but it would be difficult. If we've done a lot of training, this way of responding, these uncontrived minds of love and compassion, they will come about without any effort, but only due to us making efforts when at other times, efforts when we're not experiencing problems. So if we train in this way and we do so repeatedly, then the results will come about. If we don't train in this way, we just hold it as an aspiration, then it will be difficult in the heat of the moment to respond in such a skillful manner. The commentary here presents a quotation from Lama Atisha. When you hear words that offend, see them as like an echo. When you hear words that offend, see them as like an echo. So here, when someone has been talking badly about us, speaking about us in an offensive manner, when we hear these words, we should relate to them as if they were an echo. And of course, with an echo, then when we hear an echo, we're not placing any importance on another person over there. The sound that we are hearing is our own sound bouncing back at us. So here, in the same way, when one hears an echo, one isn't thinking about this other person who said all these things or made the sound. We should respond in a similar manner to someone who speaks to us in an offensive manner, in that when we hear an echo, here we're not thinking about blaming another person. So here, when someone has spoken, or we're not thinking about another person in the situation. So here, when someone talks about us in a bad manner or an unpleasant manner, we shouldn't be thinking about them and thinking, oh, what an awful person they are, how can they say these things about us? Rather, we should take as an object of our thought, not that bad person, but rather the afflictions that are dominant in their mind. So we're not then going to be focused on this person who has said all these awful things about us. Rather, we'll be aware that their speaking these things about us is a sign that their mind is dominated by afflictive minds, and therefore they don't have control, they don't have freedom at that moment. Rather, their mind is dominated by these negative minds of the afflictions. And then, thinking like that, mind within ourselves, we will see this person as a suffering person, this person who doesn't have freedom, but is rather acting under the influence of afflictive minds, such as anger or jealousy and the like. And therefore, love and compassion will arise for them. So in the same way that an echo is a sound that arises independent on causes and conditions, here the maybe a canyon wall or something like this, likewise, when a person speaks about us in an offensive manner, we should be aware that the way that or what they said, that this has come about, of course, in dependence on causes and conditions, and those are the afflictions in their mind. So therefore, we should have compassion for this person who is a suffering sentient being and not have any anger for them. So then the commentary gives a verse by Langri Thampa, and this we've probably heard before. When others out of jealousy mistreat me with abuse, slander, and so on, I will practice accepting defeat and offering victory to them. So I'll just read the verse again. When others out of jealousy mistreat me with abuse, slander, and so on, I will practice accepting defeat and offering victory to them. So of course the meaning here is similar to what we've been hearing thus far. So when others speak to us in an offensive manner, no matter what they say, whether they say I as a teacher have no knowledge, I don't really know what I'm saying, I'm just making it all up, and I have no qualities, etc. Well, no matter what they say, that doesn't matter. I will take on the loss. And so here in this situation, what take on the loss means is I'm not going to respond equally to them. I'm not going to respond in a way that's also offensive or strongly back towards them. I'm rather going to take on that loss, accept what has been said, and not counterattack, so to speak. Rather, I'm going to block the arisal of anger through practicing patience and ensure that my mind doesn't get dominated by anger, and I'm rather going to generate the mind of patience. And then so that's the meaning of taking on the loss or accepting the defeat and then offering the victory to them. So the meaning of that is, if they don't like me, well, that's okay. What to do about that? And if it's my wish is for them to be happy, And if them talking badly about me, them talking offensively about me, if that brings some happiness to them, then that's fine. Then that's okay. They can have that happiness. And then I'm happy too, because now they're happy, even though they're saying all these things about me. So in this way, then we ourselves won't be very disturbed by what they're saying at all, and we'll be quite happy that this person is now happy too.
Jidin bikhabe le jong lagwar de ina di soso ge tando len de ya chamba tewa cheba ina ane di do ya sa jidin bi ge chewa se de koron le de shen di gore koron da tobur toba sol jeju na ane di gore che sa di ane soso ge soso le de gi da shen le ane ga ma ya da ni ga le ping gore so da
in the world. When people are spoken about badly, then this isn't usually the way that that people respond. People don't usually just shrug their shoulders and take on the loss, so to speak. Rather, what we tend to see is if someone's it has been defamed and their reputation has been harmed, they go to lawyers, they instruct lawyers, and possibly even end up in court suing the other person. So this is because in the world, if one has been spoken about badly, then it's perceived that you have received a loss and therefore need to respond appropriately. And that's the way things happen in the world, and that's fine, and people can continue doing that. But for ourselves, the way that we need to respond inwardly is that we need to ensure that we practice patience and that minds of love and compassion dominate us, not minds of resentment or of anger. And if we are able to train ourselves successfully in this way, then benefit will come to us and everyone around us through our training.
Some Dinis Dangore, Dinis Dana Kuran, Kanga Manga Tigri, just some of those Dana Kuran, Kanga Tigmare, said Lamdun Mason Pere, Masiavoji, some of that.
This technique here on how to deal with problems is something that is particularly useful for us, because of course none of us want to experience problems, and we'd love to hear a technique that no one gives us any difficulty or says harsh things or speaks offensively to us or about us. But that doesn't happen in the world, unfortunately. But here, what we have is a technique to deal with it in a skillful way, so that no matter what is thrown at us, so to speak, we can respond in a way that's effective and our mind stays calm and peaceful and undisturbed by whatever difficulties come our way.
So nyobaji ndilya ane tsu nyobaji wa da shenji rangi ane shenji jachu sen badge shen den jachu bo cha la da shen da ge nyobaji ya da de da wa da ma chim bi tene ne gi jen ju che ya da ane le ga che ya la gao gao dong che ya da de ne le yo de jachu sen badge be la wa de zai wa che ne jachu pa jian ba de zai wa che jian ba de zai wa che bi ma se ane ko gang ga pa chuo de ge gang ga se ta ane de le ya ane 다와다 마진 비드네 견제지야 하나 소소게 그 마가위 통해 견제지야 안데니 용료도 다데니 게 용도 땅한 저기 삼무 부수 덕보다 될야 내가 저 삼무 부수 덕보다 되면 강한 책이리스 제자디 강한 책 제자간들 강한 고야요 마 강한 세고 고래스 제자다 가르치고 고래람나 안 될야 오다 잠바단 때와 삼다 데니기 네 삼노디게 단지 잠바 제외 삼다 고 안에 된다 준비게다 마리비 견제에나 소소 뭐네 된다 준비를 통해 안에 응원이 손에 봐 세시지 교세야다 아니 계시다 데니게 만년 받는 견제에나 텔레 잠바다 제와 수보금도 무슨 제바이나 다 데니게 견제 집이 긴게 소소야 세외 냠는 제알베 맞아 야보 잘 모르 제가 세바도 휴체실 당도 그래 제가 데니 고묘도 그디 이제 잠바도 제와도 내 곰곰곰곰 쉬우 니베 체실도 제가 때 예년 대칙 member more thing on to Yaha Chatu, Lambda Dors, that do a Ganga Chek, Tabla, Yaha Chagores, Yaha Lam Tutores, Undu Chevore, Eje, Kalnaro, that didn't have the Dini, some Dango or other Dini Chevo or rather, that Dini Che, the Lada, Mongol, Yamasan, and Jejil Mason, the Lagarena, Chike, nearly Jandora Chevo, or rather Kalasuena, Kalashimus, and Kalasuena, Jandora Chevo, Zemor, Seven, Zemo Jandora Chevo, and then nearly Jandora Chevo, just a dinner on the Nilia, that Dini on the Leo, my son, the Dini Tanguota, Dijin, Digo, Corlan, Digo, Mata, and do some dig of some Dini Tanguota, Simbidu, and Jandora Chakidina, Lucian, the Yasay as do Jandora Shadi, and Zugata, Dirling Labjati, Dichu, Dusit, Lakor, Jesan. Sanyi Shobe, Lera Karina, Shogun, Madinichi, Jew, Yus, and Dini, Chuzi, Dinichi, Yalangu, Yus, and Big Summer Stanji, Nevene, the good Sanyi Shobe, Dinitil, Tata, Nise, two at the Chagorati, Pimbi to some Digi, Pimbi to Kichagora. Sena Dinigi, some Pimbi to Kichagora, Anzuke, Gangatu, Digi Wata, Dinichi, Ina, Sambi, Pimbatanadu, Jema Gangatu, some of the Tata Tatu, or Dinetan to the Monsulia, Gangati Gomar, Sena, Manzu Gangati, Tabla.
Bodhisattvas, of course, spend a lot of time out in the world interacting with sentient beings so as to directly be of benefit to others. And doing so, they have this with this motivation to be of benefit to others and to be of benefit to them both in a temporary way, but in particular in an ultimate way. In other words, to lead, benefit them so as to lead them to a state completely free from all forms of suffering. So engaging in such activities, the bodhisattva will encounter many obstacles and many difficulties and problems. And because they will be interacting with people who have a different outlook on life, different views from them. They'll be interacting with people with whom they don't have a good karmic connection and people who just don't like them. So they'll be encountering, through a variety of situations, a number of obstacles. And they are, however, and what is key with the bodhisattva as opposed to ourselves, is how they will respond. They will see these obstacles as opportunities, and opportunities that actually bring joy to their mind when they encounter them, because they will lead to the spontaneous arisal of love and compassion in their mind. So they won't relate to an obstacle as an obstacle, in that love and compassion will spontaneously arise in their mind. We ourselves, we don't yet spontaneously or naturally respond in such a manner, but we can do this, because in the same way that bodhisattvas at one point started in their training and then were continuous in their training and therefore developed themselves, we can do this ourselves. And if we do this, we will be able to eliminate whatever mental anguish arises in our mind, and then eventually come to the point where suffering minds and mental minds of mental anguish do not arise no matter what situations we encounter. Rather, minds of love and compassion will start to arise, and then they'll arise in more powerful ways and more spontaneously. So this will all come about if we repeatedly put time and energy into training. And so this is really the key point, that just like anyone who wants to experience success in any aspect of their life, they will put in a lot of time in becoming educated and becoming skilled. For example, if someone wants to become a skilled chef or become a world-class athlete, this isn't something that happens overnight. They don't get inspired by tasting delicious food or seeing or watching another athlete and then immediately become such themselves. They consistently train. And if we do this and consistently train in visualizing difficult circumstances and generating minds of love and compassion and training ourselves to respond skillfully and also being aware of reality, being aware of emptiness in that situation, then this training will pay dividends. Because these kinds of situations that we will be visualizing and role-playing, undoubtedly we will meet them, and we could meet them as soon as the very next day. And we will meet them, and if we have made effort in our training, then a number of results will come. In fact, as we start to progress in our training, we will want to meditate more, because our mind is becoming happy in that time of meditation. Secondly, when we encounter these difficulties, we will see the results of our meditation. And we'll see the results of the meditation isn't just the happiness while we're sitting quietly in our room, but rather now we are responding in a more skillful way. Our minds are more peaceful at that moment, and that person is responding very well to what we are saying, or at least responding otherwise than how they would have. So in this way, we take motivation, and we will continue to want to train. So if we do this and we train well now, in the times when things are going well for us, then when we encounter problems, we will start to respond habitually in a skillful manner. And this really is very important advice that we've received here in the text tonight. And tomorrow we'll continue with the next verse. And then the next verse is again about transforming problems from speech onto the path, where it differs in the terms of situation from tonight. So tonight is where people are talking unpleasantly behind our back. Here this is where in tomorrow's situation will be where someone is disparaging us within a large group of people. So we'll continue with the presentation tomorrow. And so if there's some questions, then please do ask. Yes, sir. So, because it's easier if I have an example. So, for example, if love and compassion are manifest, yeah? Well, present. What does this mean, that love and compassion are manifest? Okay, Denny. Denny, Penna, that's all. Jumper dan inji ni, nato semla nangda, deni semla nangda se ye de, dan nyandu gyur, de ni dan drabareve, de ni dan chupareve.
Nyandu gyur se ya, semla nangda se ye de. Re da jigwa reva, che khasne nyandu jamba, se nyandu gyur se samla nade, de ti, se kawa kye da, nying je samla samda, de nyandu gyur se gongo re se dirwa.
Yes, so that would mean the same. Manifest and present. Another question? Yes?
When, say for instance, someone broadcasts all kinds of unpleasant remarks and it offends us, we feel threatened and we feel like defending ourselves, we get angry. And so if everything is inherently empty, what exactly is it ignorance to this emptiness that causes us to become defensive?
Okay. So when we get someone talks badly about us and we get angry, then whilst everything is empty of inherent existence, is it our ignorance that prevents us from knowing that things are inherently lack inherent existence, and therefore we are angry?
Yes. So obviously, because everything is empty, inherent, lacking in inherent reality, including ourselves. Are we taking those remarks?
Yes.
Are we taking them perhaps a little seriously?
Yes.
As if they are like threatening something real?
I understand. Yes. Okay. Then Kajidishuna kapore ya tabsitigin. Kumuni tumpeni ki kola kajishugiore. Tumpeni da netanti de drawa kariore. Tontu labna pelsi dere. Yini pena michigi an ato minyam pa labna. Deni ato nami ngako kegere lunglangere. Deni karitene di gilsun direbe. Ato daxin girebe. Ne karitene daxin girebe. Karitene ato tumpeni ki tumpeni la dedu tumki marebe. Maripa ki wangju jeni tumpeni dedu tumki marebe. So, In brief, yes. So, we've spoken a lot about repeatedly meditating or habituation tonight. So here, that relates very much to what's your question. So we have strong habituation to ignorance. We have very weak habituation to the wisdom understanding emptiness. So with a strong habituation to ignorance, then our self-grasping spontaneously arises. And so when someone talks badly about us, talks offensively about us, the self-grasping arises, and then the other afflictions follow. So whether it would be pride or anger, etc. If we have been meditating continuously on emptiness, and we were looking at the emptiness of the self, then if we have now and we've come to some understanding of the emptiness of the self, then when someone speaks offensively about us, there's, due to the understanding of the emptiness of the self, our self-grasping is weak, and therefore the resulting afflictive minds are going to either not arise or be that much weaker, because the self that is being badly spoken about, we understand that it doesn't truly exist. It doesn't exist in the way that it appears. And then that immediately results in the afflictions being that much weaker, because the afflictions result from this self-grasping. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so it's
how
like I mentioned habituation. It's habit, it's habitual reaction.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah, okay. Peter, did you have a question? No.
Probably many, but not.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Oh.